The Bike Black Ribbon Society presents the Black Ribbon Bike Hour, show number 2.
Making sure you get there. Black Ribbon Bicycle Hour starts now.
Consider this your only warning. We are drilling a hole straight into your brain and pumping it full of the dark truth where it can flow down your spinal cord and into your pelvic region until your personal and very private areas reach maximum elasticity.
I think he just reached his elasticity.
The Rorschach test left on the bathroom wall will reveal the nefarious hidden meanings behind every childhood nursery rhyme you're forced to sing in kindergarten. As it turns out, all along, you were singing the praises of the Black Ribbon Bicycle Hour.
What's up, kids? This is your Uncle Gomez, and you might have heard about Jenny on the block, but pero no está aquí. We got El Vato Lindo, Evan Larson.
Hola! And in this corner, former Walter Wade knife fighting champion and current coconut shampoo model, Chris Daisy.
That's right, folks. Steel is real.
Shing!
How's my hair? Oh, yeah. Over yonder, perched atop his bar stool of infinite wisdom, part-time demolition expert and full-time smartass, Mr. Dave Kruger.
Okay, maybe a little bit more C4 next time. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Just doing a little part-time work. Now that I've reached the wall of stupidity, let's climb inside and get to work. Admiral Gomez, don't you want to get this absurd armada sailing? Post haste.
Fat Bike Radio is sponsored by the kind and gentle folks at Surly Bikes. These are the folks that make bikes that you won't be afraid to derby, and yet will strike fear in the hearts of those that face you in said derby.
Learn more about the bikes, parts, and chaos at surlybikes.com.
So up next, our special guest is going to join us. It's another uncle. This is Uncle Al. Uncle Al Menduno.
That's right. Stay tuned for our little segment we like to call The Local Scene, right after this.
There is someone out there who loves you, but she's locked up in your garage. This is Dwayne, service manager at Zion Cyclery. It's springtime and your bicycle needs love and attention. Bring her to me. I will start by getting her all wet. We will clean all her crevices with our finest degreaser and use any tool to make her happy. I'm a very gentle man and I use plenty of lubrication. Spring tune-up, just $75 plus parts. Visit Zion Cyclery.
I know. This is where you tell me all about how locals rule and yuppie insects like me shouldn't be surfing the break and all that, right?
Nope. That would be a waste of time.
We're just gonna fuck you up.
It's the local scene, bro. Tell us who's in your crew.
Where do you shred the gnar? Where do the surfers get in the random beach brawls? Local scene.
We're just hanging out, drinking some beers, talking about some bikes. It's cool.
Yep.
Damn right.
And with that, we're going to introduce our guest. This is a California-born, Windy City-bred, and currently laying the smack down in Boulder, Colorado. Please put your talons together for the one and only Uncle Al Menduno.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the show. Yeah.
What's happening?
So, let's see. I met Al in the mid-90s, Chicago, Wicker Park, music scene.
Holy cow.
Dude, was a cool.
Been a long time.
Oh, right. I know. Showing our age, but awesome musician and always a long-time bike geek. And
for sure.
Currently working a new gig at a new shop. You just flipped bike shops recently, right?
Yep, definitely. For sure, man. I'm at Boulder Cycle Sport now. It's been super awesome so far, but it's only been a couple weeks, so.
Nice. I heard when we were talking a little bit, you mentioned that at your old shop, they frowned upon your surly Krampus, correct?
They did. I won't mention names, but it was a little out there for them, you know. The Krampus with the fixed gear and hydraulic disc brakes isn't really what they're into. So.
I see. A little bit of bike snobbery, perhaps, or
maybe a little bit.
All right. So, in the general scene out there in Boulder, can you kind of describe what's going down? What's good? What's bad?
Oh man, lots of different stuff. Kind of depends on what you're into.
Yeah.
What kind of bikes you ride, because there's so many kinds and everybody rides something different and thinks that the bikes they ride are the only ones that people should ride. Not everyone. I mean, I got a good collection. I got some cruiser bikes and some fixed gear bikes and cargo bikes and all kinds of stuff. Boulder's an awesome town for cycling for sure.
I'm sure there's some pretty sweet...
pretty deep. Yep.
Pretty nice mountain bike trails in the area, I would imagine.
Definitely. Yeah. We got some real close. Our closest one is just right out of town. They call it Potasso. It's just right about 4 miles above town, right up the canyon. There's a great path that takes you really close, and then there's a few different ways you can get up to the trailhead.
Nice.
They switch the direction on it, which is pretty cool, too. You get to kind of ride it both ways. They do it like every other week or something. I'm not totally sure. But they switch the direction, and that makes it more interesting and always changes it up a little bit. But that's our closest one to town. But that connects right to our bike path system, which goes all around Boulder. You can pretty much circle Boulder, and they do it every year. It's called the Boulder 360, which is funny. Put on by the city. Everyone comes out and kind of does it. It's like an all-day event.
Okay.
And you can ride either I think it's like a 15-mile loop, and then there's like a 25-mile loop, and it's pretty much all on the bike path or bike lanes. So that's pretty cool. I try to do that every year.
Killer. What time of year is that?
Take the kids out on a cargo bike and roll around Boulder, a big loop around. So
what time of year do they? What time of year do they do that?
That's in the summer. I think it's in like June they do that.
Nice.
Cool. Nice.
Lots of events.
You were mentioning
the bike park here. There's so many things. Just bringing it up. We got a 40-acre bike park that's a city run, just free park in the city. Huge jumps and pump park, two different pump parks, and it's pretty sweet. The city maintains it, so the trails are always really nice and bunch of drop-offs, huge jumps. It's pretty cool.
Man, nice. if you live somewhere crappy, aren't you angry right now?
No, if you're living in Illinois.
Sure. Come to Boulder. Everybody's coming to Boulder. No, definitely come this summer. The other thing that's really cool that happens here, and one of the things that I love about Boulder and when I first came here about 10 years ago, thought was just the coolest. It's just is their cruiser ride that they do every week.
Yeah.
And it's on Thursday nights. And there's a lot of different groups that do it, but eventually they all kind of meet up together and can be about 500 people on a random Thursday night. And just a rolling party through the town and There's like people stop at all these parks and people dance and there's big music, you know, that rolls along, and it's just a blast, and it really got me into it here when I first moved here, and I still do it, and looking forward to the season. They do it pretty much all year, but it really gets going when the summer is happening, you know. So
right on.
That's something that's awesome. Super awesome. I invite everyone to come out to Boulder and do the Boulder Cruiser Ride.
Okay, we'll stay at your place.
If you're stoked for me. Yeah.
All right, did you hear that? Our one listener that we have.
Hey, listener.
We should all meet there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's go to Al's.
I want to talk to Uncle Al's realtor.
Us four, our listener, and Al. There we go.
Well, that's awesome, man. It's great to hear things are rolling along out there in Boulder. I personally have not spent nearly enough time or any, really, time in Colorado, so I'm definitely due to come out and see some people and hang out and do some things.
They have these things called wellness centers.
Anytime,
yeah,
it'll be awesome for sure.
Wellness. I like the idea of wellness. All right.
some wellness for sure.
I want to ask Uncle Al. I want to ask Uncle Al a question.
Yeah,
there's definitely gonna be some safety breaks. Hey,
Evan's got a question here. Hold on a second.
Just real quick. Do you miss Illinois?
I
miss the city a little bit, but not much. But actually, seeing some of the pictures coming from you guys though on the lake, you know, that looks awesome. So I'd love to come out and try to ride, because you know I live down in the city, you know, Parker Park, and we never rode our bike really that much down there.
No,
at the time I was down there, Yeah, I'd love to kind of come out now and kind of hit some trails and stuff up there by you guys.
Absolutely. Anytime you're up here, man, I got a guest room and it's got your name on it. So
And we got a fat bike for you to ride, too.
Oh, yeah, I got extra. Yeah, I got multiple rental bikes. We can hook it up.
Shit, I'll let him ride mine. Just let me stay at his place.
His bikes. Nice.
So, Al, are you are you going
to
share a musical song for us to play on our show?
Oh yeah,
I totally will. Oh yeah, I mean, I got tons, so I would love to. You could use any of them for sure.
Nice, definitely. Email us something.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you want something, just anything, or just something heavy, or?
You know, we like heavy.
Yeah,
sure,
we like heavy.
This is the Black Ribbon Radio Hour.
Let me answer that with yes.
Yeah. Heavy.
Definitely.
I want to dive in.
Excellent.
So after we say goodbye to Uncle Al, this will be a musical piece that features.
Oh yeah, just spin that up, Ren. We'll just you know what? Coming up right now is some music a la Uncle Al Menduno. So peace out, brother.
Nice. Let's check it out.
All right.
All the time. Yes, yes. Gentlemen, we have been summoned by the Dark Force. Together, four abnormal brains welded into one high bicycle mindset. Solving the answer to the question.
What's the word on the street?
Weapons?
Weapons, yes. It's a dangerous world out there, my friends. The gnomes are in assassin mode. Bands of hungry yeti prowl through the foggy, frigid nights. And drunken teenage girls are getting in 70-mile-an-hour Snapchat wars behind the wheel of their daddy's Cadillac Escalade.
Escalade.
Watch out for those, man. It's the scariest one.
So, what do you carry on your person as a two-wheeled night prowler? Pointy objects? Boomsticks? The magic skull dust of a two-headed unicorn? Let's go around the table and talk like the ladies from The View. What do you think, Dave?
Well...
Come on now, be nice.
I don't like to brag, but I have a Mod Deuce strapped to my 35mm bars with a holy hand grenade in my jersey pocket.
How do you insulate the carbon frame from the recoil of that Mod Deuce?
Haven't thought that far ahead.
Haven't had to use it yet. It's just ready to go.
Cross right. That bridge when you get there.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Evan? I bet you have something interesting to
tell us. It's all involved in the general direction of where I'm traveling. If I'm heading towards Chicago,
yeah,
or away from Chicago. You know, if it's towards, then we're going to talk about throwing stars, subcompact, assorted cutlery. No matter what I do, I've always got some type of small knife on me at all times, or perhaps strapped to my bicycle.
Never know when you're going to have a hangnail. Or need to open a package.
Well, I'm sure we've all been, you know, we all beach ride, and you just fishing line and assorted nonsense shrubbery that sometimes gets tangled in your drivetrain.
Sure.
The occasional squirrel that you gotta kind of, yeah,
what's the possible
sucker out of
chunk
there?
Of asbestos stuck in your nostril.
Did you guys?
Sorry, that's our beach.
Have you guys heard of the squirrel fraternity? Did you read about the squirrel fraternity?
No. Enlightenment.
Frat squirrels?
It's frat squirrels. Frat squirrels in Chicago. Apparently.
Frat squirrels. Get going on.
Frat squirrels.
Frat squirrels.
Frat squirrels.
Frat squirrels. Frat squirrels.
They're dangerous. No, the fib alderman, Howard Brooks, he criticized and accused Chicago squirrels of being aggressive, and they caused the refuse problems that Chicago is plagued by. And it was soon after on his local bike ride that I believe he called it a like a terrorist suicide bomber. A squirrel ran at him, lodged himself in the front of his wheel, causing him to flip, and he had multiple facial fractures, and I think he's still recovering to this
so
day.
So do they think that the squirrel was radicalized overseas?
Is or there a travel
did
ban?
It self-radicalize via the squirrel internet?
I'm sure all the YouTube videos that got into its head about our alderman caused it to just say, you know what, I'm going to do something about it, and even if I have to end myself...
It's a squirrel jihad. Hey, now that we have the entire NSA listening to the show,
hey,
welcome.
Hello out there in government land.
How's it going?
Hey,
we're just talking about radicalized squirrels.
What kind of bikes do you ride?
Those words just flag the show.
We didn't
show
even bring up the whole capybaras, the huge radicalized rodents. Just think about that.
Oh, man.
So, you know, you want to chime in, Chris?
For or
you, I think that... You and I probably have a similar take on this whole weapon thing.
Well, if I'm going to confess a secret, I actually have a superpower.
other than being able to play like all those instruments?
Yeah, I can make people poop with my mind.
No, it's hard to yeah.
It breaks up a fight real quick.
I'll have to get back to you on that.
I've never told anyone. So let's just keep everybody, you know,
nice. Sonic and, defecation.
That's right. It's telepathic defecation, I think, is if you Google it.
So I'm just going to get a little philosophical here and say that I don't think that we should be spreading fear about radicalized squirrels. Well, fear itself is like kind of anti going out and riding your bike. So
there's fear and there's being prepared. I mean, we want to be prepared for radical squirrels, right? What kind of weaponry would be best suited? That stick you brought over earlier tonight could be something.
I
could put
gun.
A lance on there.
Sounded like that guy didn't have a fucking chance. I mean, no matter how well prepared he probably could have made himself,
yeah,
that squirrel was dedicated to ending his ride.
Right. You know, one lone squirrel that's willing to lose its life will definitely end your bike ride.
Well, are we I don't think it will, and that speaks to my actual defenses, is that I run bladed spokes on all of my bikes and travel at very high speeds. So I think
you're
I'm going to win in that.
Basically making like a rodent lunch
that
meat.
Squirrel would have been a bump in the road for you.
I like to live under the fantasy that I live at the top of the food chain here in the lower 48, and that as delicious as I might be, that nothing's going to kill and eat me.
In the lower 48, that's a big place. I mean, we just...
Well, let's just say Wisconsin.
South Wisconsin. Yeah.
Where I live in Wisconsin, there's mountain lions, but a 200-pound mountain lion is going to be like, the all-you-can-eat buffet, I'm watching my weight. I'm not going to eat that big fat guy. And he's just going to take, you know, that 105-pound jogger that's all sinewy and healthy. Yeah. Nobody wants like the pork belly sandwich every day, but
that and the mountain lion's in for a challenge. The jogger's running; you're probably just standing there.
Realistically, I could be rolling slowly by on my bike, or you know, stooping over even to take a picture and be like, "Oh yeah,
what's this?"
Could,
you're riding down the trail screaming, "Kangaroos, kangaroos, motherfucker!"
As far as humans go, you know. If you're vigilant and you read body language and you live out in the middle of the country like I do, you actually like are. I just think I'm just way more scarier than most people I come across.
I tried that vigilant body language thing in Chicago when I lived there and subsequently got stabbed.
No!
I can laugh about it now.
I think maybe you were doing the sexy body language.
I mean, I was probably looking kind of sexy, but they were looking kind of, whoa, and I kind of walked on the other side of the road, and it didn't help.
They crossed the street, too.
Oh, ran across the street, yeah. I turned around, I saw a couple of dudes with knives, and woohoo, got in my car. Halfway in my car, luckily, I could fight them off with my legs. So it was only my legs that got sliced up, but wow, that was a... Yeah, same night I met Kyle Orton of the Bears at the bar, and I was supposed to leave for Vegas the next day. Weird shit, huh?
Man.
Yeah.
So much for my theory of not selling fear.
It's rural, urban.
It's out there.
It's where you are. You know, like I said, if I'm going on the Des Plaines River Trail, I tend not to go to the squirrel.
Hey, the gates of hell are at the Des Plaines River Trail, apparently. Have you heard this?
Oh, yeah.
That weird hell.
We talked about this on the show.
Okay, right. So you have heard.
I heard it somewhere.
Yeah, there's that, and then the demons that I like to call the homeless folk or fishermen. I can't tell when they're just dumpling around the freaking multi trail. You don't know who's coming at you. Yeah. I figure my light, it's bright as hell, and it's going right in their face, and I'm getting the fuck out of there.
So if I did live where there were big predators, though, I would carry a revolver. And I own a few, so I would carry one of the ones that I own. And 357 Magnums, the biggest, most powerful. I would put some Fiacci hot loads in there. And
how would you transport said weaponry? Just to relate this back to bikes.
Frame bag.
Frame bag.
Like right there in a neoprene
Hill
pouch.
Just let it bounce around underneath your privies.
Well, you don't put a round under the hammer.
Right.
And you keep it in something that's going to be at least as compressive so that cylinder isn't going to move. And it's pretty fail-safe.
See,
five shots. If you can't kill 12 bears with five shots, then you might be from Illinois.
I don't know. I prefer to carry on the body and Hill People gear has a fantastic product. It's like a chest rig. You mount to your chest and you can access it quickly. And that is perfect for backcountry, wild animals. They're...
Well, it's not like you're going to quick draw on a damn bear.
No, man. They quick draw on you. If you've got, they're just it's like and there.
Yeah.
And but you're fucked no matter what, even if you shoot the thing. What was the guy's name who got... He got attacked by a bear twice.
Bob?
No, I looked it up. I mean, he made it. He made it out of there, and he's got a whole... Post, I gotta look that shit up. We'll talk about that later.
We'll get back to bears eating people in a minute.
But yeah,
if I were to carry a gun, I'd put a hard mount on my bike.
Yeah, you know.
Maybe we'll post it up on the website. But we have a nice picture of an Albany tandem, which looks like some fine Britons made back
with all
in
kinds of armaments on there.
It's pretty wild. I'd rock that.
But I don't know. I just would want something simple that...
How many grams does this gun add to my bike?
So I got a stoker in the back.
It's all the extra clips that you want to bring with you.
Yeah.
Todd Orr. That's the name of the guy. Look up Todd Orr. He's got this amazing video right after the bear attack, and he's still pretty lucid, and he has to walk out of the backcountry... Beyond fucked up.
But we're thinking of, you know, thinking of innovative products for cyclists. And this is actually Chris's find, are these telescoping stainless steel nunchucks.
Yeah.
That you can mount right on your belt, front or rear, launching, and you just like... Like ding yourself bag. Right in the forehead, cut open a big gash on your forehead, and then the bear can come and be like, can see, oh, negative, delicious.
Well, those can also be personalized with a Black Ribbon Radio logo on it. Oh. So, you know, leave your interest level on our comments section, and maybe we'll
get
that ball rolling.
If 12 people want them, then we probably still won't do it.
Will they fit in my hemp onesie, though? That's all I want to know.
I like that they're stainless steel, because that means all of our listeners who are triathletes can put them in their little bag. And they sweat.
You
can
put them in your your jersey.
Yeah,
you know? Would,
that's a good point.
Get all corroded.
Uh-huh.
Because the demographic for this show is definitely triathletes, rodeo clowns, and Lutheran ministry, the Lutheran ministries. But let's talk about a couple of real things. Not that you know, you guys' stories were made up or anything. I'm 100%. You know,
it's like, I can show you the scars.
Oh, maybe later.
Illinois.
You can show me some of that sexy, aggressive body language. But I think that three out of four of the team has had a chance to apply the happy bottom.
Oh.
Happy bottom bum butter. I was going to say butt butter, but that would be rude. Bum butter. So much more polite. And let's start off with the guy who actually hasn't used it, and let's get Evan's opinion on this. How do you think this stuff tastes?
let me just take a sample here.
He's licking it.
It's not bad. Kind of minty. Delightful smell.
Yeah, it's
very savory. Yeah, smell.
Oh, it's, wow. It you know, that's nice. Let me,
he has a dab on his finger.
Hold on.
Don't apply it now. Later.
He's going downtown.
There goes the belt.
That's kind of nice.
There's no tingle to it.
Does anybody want to take a smell of this?
The butter or of...
All right.
All of us actually have probably used... I know I've used it. Have you used it?
I have.
Chris?
No. And I mean, the reason I'm so sad is because it's just been lack of pure bike riding in my life lately that has, you know, not warranted the need for bum butter at the moment.
I see what you mean, but, you know, it could be used for riding a stool or...
I don't get to do that much either.
All right, well, so Dave, tell us about the bum butter. This is Charlie the Bike Monger's product.
It totally works.
Yeah, totally works.
Totally works. I've put on, probably 500 some miles since the last show, and when I think we got our last sample, or the sample, finally. And it...
Thank you, by the way. That's Dave's way of saying, hey, thanks, Charlie, for the free sample.
Wasn't blaming him.
It came via the Royal Mail, so we might have to blame the Queen.
Kind of probably got held up in customs.
The buck stops at the crown jewels. Well, as does the gooch butter.
My crown jewels were royally protected. Saddle sores were kept in check, and it really works. And it smells nice.
I like to name my saddle sores, and you know, there I haven't got any new girlfriends down there, so well played, old sport. Well, I did apply some to the wife's pelvic region, and she did not find it that great.
Did you ask her first?
It was during the Grammys.
Like, what the hell are you doing? She was napping at the time. She was sleeping.
What are you doing, hon?
But yeah, I think that you will find Charlie's grease delightful. And it's not tingly. It's not mentholated. Mm-mm. Has a very neutral, clean, very gentlemanly smell. I think your street cred will definitely go up if you use this stuff. Or your shorts will be better friends, or I don't know.
And I haven't tried it yet, but due to the nice smell and the very nice consistency, I've thought about using it as
beard ointment.
Beard conditioner. That's for the next show. I'll
always
try that.
Looking for that. You know, it's a gun cleaner, it's a gooch butter, it's a
beard oil. There's certain ways you could apply said beard conditioner. Straight off of the gooch.
Sell this shit off a trailer and a horse, and it just does it all.
And there's one other thing that I wanted to mention, which is Industry 9 has this really cool multi-tool that is your front through axle. And I saw it before, and they didn't make one 150 by 15, but now they do.
They're no longer bastards.
And I have one of these things in my possession, and somebody was having a pretty fucking good brainy day when they came up with this shit, dude.
That's cool.
It
how's the handle? Like, have you used it?
Yeah. I've used it, and I shot all the pictures, all the studio pictures for it today. The handle comes off of the through axle, and the handle itself is a chain breaker. Inside the hollow part of the through axle is a plastic tube that has, I think, 6 bits in it that go into that handle. So they go in just like a normal driver unit that you would use, like your...
A little bit kit that you buy.
Right, right. And it has a place specifically to hold a quick link. It has a spoke wrench, so pretty much it covers everything that you would need for trail side. So the only thing that I could say is those little bits, if you dropped them in the snow, could be an issue to find. So I'm going to use the thing and see how it goes. And I was impressed. I was like, damn, this is a good idea. It just combines something that makes your bike better, and is probably on, if you have a newer fat bike, it's probably already on there, and combines it with something that you should always have with you, and the second that you don't have your kit with you, you know, your bike's going to break.
It's one less thing you have to remember to throw in your backpack before you...
We've all been there. You think you have your multi-tool with you, but you left it on your other bike from your last ride, and all of a sudden you're fucked.
Yeah, I'm always juggling between this bike and that bike and this bike, and I always have new bikes coming through, so it's like, well, I have to remember, well, with this bike, I have to wear the backpack because there's no bag on there, and so it's I think it's going to be a good thing. So that's my new product of the week.
And they come in colors, nice. Too. Different rainbow colors, correct?
Yeah, you know, that whole anodizing thing. So ours is lime green, and it matches that new Fatback Corvus that is in the test kitchen over there.
Nice.
So I'm liking that thing.
Wheat.
And, you know, you guys listen to Ken and Andy over there at the Fat Camp podcast?
Are
you guys fans?
Love Ken and Andy. Listening to that show.
Best guys across the pond.
I tell you, they get better and better. They just earlier this week, we published a Jill Martindale interview that they did. That they killed that. She seems like just a super person.
Andy asks all the questions that I, because like he seems to be right there with me as far as like my technical non-knowledge, and he's right there with the question that I want to ask, and it's just perfect. It's spot on. I love listening to those two guys rap about bikes.
So cool. That was our commercial for the Fat Camp that we were going to do.
Sweet. That was easy.
No doubt. So after this break, we're going to come back with the little segment that we like to call Whiskey and What?
You're tuned to Black Ribbon Bicycle Hour.
Hey, we're back from the break. And here's a little segment that we like to call Beards and Beer.
Beards and beer. Have you ever had beer in your beard? Beer and beards. Why does yours look so weird?
Right. So, commercial time. United Liquors in Winthrop Harbor, Illinois is a total backwater liquor store that would probably suck by normal standards.
Backwater.
But what is normal exactly? The fact is, Larry the owner is cool. He's kind of a sly motherfucker, but he carries a decent craft beer.
Sly motherfucker.
And he's got the cheapest whiskey prices in town, which makes him a true patriot.
Patriot!
And model capitalist in my book. His 90-year-old employee is named Boots.
Bootsy.
Sometimes he tells me old party stories about my dead grandfather, rest his soul. So that's like totally cool. Stop in if you're ever stuck between Milwaukee and Chicago on Sheridan Road, just south of the Wisco border. Tell them the Bearded Wonder sent you. Maybe you'll get a discount, but I doubt it. You can try to check them out on the web, but I doubt they have a website too, so fuck you, my friend.
Yeah, they don't have a website. I looked.
You looked.
Check your yellow pages.
All right.
So, I wish to take this special time right after thou holiest of commercial breaks to again apologize for drinking all the scotch last time around.
Yeah, that sucked.
My parents taught me to share, and unfortunately, that training failed me.
Damn Lutherans!
Furthermore, unfortunately for you, I read Ayn Rand as a young man and have been a self-centered son of a bitch ever since.
We love you, Dave.
So, anyway, tonight I have with me, straight from Iowa, hand-delivered by my father, some Templeton Rye whiskey. Because I have, for reasons yet to be revealed, usurped the beer segment with whiskey.
Boom, again. Cousin.
Boom, cousin. That's right, cousin.
Boom.
So, by the latest scientific research in transubstantiation, I have turned beer into rye.
Oh, so. Lordy. So, this fine Midwestern libation is 80 proof and an excellent shade of umber.
So, can someone tell me where exactly is this temple? Templeton?
So pass me my Mountain Dew White Tropical Thunder over there. Oh, Jesus.
Man, yeah. Oh!
Yeah, if you guys poured yourself whiskey and you...
What the?
My bar stool just exploded.
Oh. It...
900 milligrams of sugar and caffeine.
It's a crafted tropical citrus Mountain Dew White label.
Did you just usurp my usurping?
It's like a whole new chapter in getting jacked up on Matt and Dew.
Hey, let's also take this moment to introduce whiskey connoisseur and lovely wife of mine, Miss Cassie Daisy.
Hello.
Yep. I believe we poured you some there, sweetie.
I hope.
Thank you.
I hope this visit is better than the last time you dropped in.
Yes, much. I've been drinking Maker's Mark prior to this, so we'll see how Templeton Rye complements
the palate.
And there's no dog in the room this time, so.
Right. The last time I visited.
Cheers.
Yeah, we did have Sprocket the Wonder Dog in here, but she got kicked out instantly.
Correct.
Mm. She French kissed me right away. Yeah. Boom, cousin.
What listeners may not know is that Dave is my brother-in-law, and we've spent many a Christmas together, probably over the past decade, wouldn't you say?
A little bit more, yeah.
I'd say 6 out of the 10 years polishing off a bottle of whiskey between the two of us over the course of a day, irritating my family members, my sister.
Yeah, my wife.
Thoroughly. So, those are my...
But it always ends in good stories.
Everyone had a merry fucking Christmas.
That Christmas when y'all gave each other tasers.
Yeah. The Christmas night broke all the dishes.
Yes, none of us brought up any kind of non-lethal weapons like tasers or pepper spray.
Because it's lethal. You're pulling a weapon. I'm not here to just let you know.
So you would, if you, let's whisk ourselves to the 26th century and, you know, Star Trek phasers. So you would set on kill at all times.
Yeah, vaporize. The guy in the red shirt gets it.
I would set my phaser on, say, tickle or...
Smile.
Piss off.
Slightly agitate.
It wasn't that cool, but I will say that philosopher finger puppets and my grandmother accidentally breaking her shoulder were direct results of our drinking. It was a dachshund, I would say, that caused the grandmother.
I was going to say Dave, like, hockey checked her into a wall or something.
No,
like
it was a little blockade we'd set up for our dog at the time, which was a dachshund.
I think we're going to have to get Grandma's side of the story on this because I don't know if she thinks it was.
She's dead. Well,
hey, we could have a seance.
Anyways,
to the Halloween show, ladies and gentlemen.
The point of these stories, when it comes to whiskey, I don't trust Dave. I trust his judgment very much. So, Templeton Rye, is this corn whiskey, Dave? What's the origin?
It's rye whiskey.
It's rye.
Rye. Oh, right. Okay.
From Templeton. So Templeton, if you know where Des Moines is, and you know where Sioux City is, and you draw a line between them, bisect that, it's right about there.
Hmm.
Middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Mountain Dew's made from corn.
You're right.
Corn syrup.
Does that have white number 5 instead of yellow number 5 in it?
I don't know.
It's got 2 shucks in every can.
I wouldn't want to see that in a clear glass.
I have 2 words for Mountain Dew White Label. Fucking delicious.
But what would we call Mountain Dew White Label mixed with Templeton Rye Whiskey? Could we name a drink right now?
Oh, yeah. The White Temple? I don't think that's going to fly.
Yeah, that's a little bit of
a drunk dachshund.
Insensitive for today's times.
Drunk dachshund?
The drunken dachshund?
Horny dachshund? Well,
let's not get ahead of ourselves with the Mountain Dew there.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm just thinking of all the dachshunds I've known in my life.
All named Cleopatra or Shotzi.
All right.
Oh, there's
Cleopatra.
We'll have to revisit the naming.
So, did I usurp your usurpation? From what I understand,
I don't know where the fuck we are now.
Templeton Rye was the preferred whiskey of Mr. Natural and the Fabulous Freak Brothers. Are you guys old enough to know who those people were? Are?
No.
Jesus Christ, dude. What?
What? Do you guys know Underground Comics?
No. Underground Comics, yes.
All right. So I'm a big fan of Underground Comics back when there were record stores.
Yeah.
And I had a buck in my pocket. I would go and I would buy this like crazy cartoon.
Like R. Crumb?
Yeah. Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. Exactly. I know so. Been kind of a dream of mine to have rock music on the show and to have underground bicycle cartoonists on the show. And this week,
Andy both, right?
Yeah, Andy Singer did a comic, and I contacted him and got permission to put it in our show notes. So look in your show notes, fools.
Nice.
And you'll see, like,
yee-haw!
A guy fat biking. On the moon.
On the fucking moon.
Boom, cousin.
So, anything else you want to tell us about this here Templeton Rye? It was like the favorite whiskey of Chicago gangster Al Capone, right?
Yeah, so the story goes, either, I don't know whether it's by itself or mixed in with something. Every time I tell myself I need to go research that, I've had a couple glasses and don't want to get off the couch.
It's a resounding like testimonial from a guy who died of syphilis. There you go.
And broke my grandmother's heart.
Oh.
Really?
Grandma. Is this the same grandma that Dave broke her shoulder?
Yeah.
Crappers.
Oh, wait. You have a Grandma Al Capone story, is what you're trying to say?
No.
It would have been a good story.
That's the whiskey talking. Well, with nothing else to say about my Mountain Dew and or the Templeton Rye.
No, the Templeton's good. It's smooth. Yeah. I usually get two or three bottles delivered to me a year via my father. And
mm-hmm.
As you notice, this one did not show up full.
I've seen it here at the Woodman's.
Yeah,
they do sell it here.
Yeah, its distribution, I know, has increased vastly in the past couple of years. 3 or 4 years ago, you could pretty much only find it in Iowa. A couple years before that, you could only find it there. As things go, distribution widens, production increases. Not in that order. But
I've been on safari in Iowa a couple of times and been plied with that liquor before. Nice. You guys are supposed to think
good,
that's funny.
It's good stuff. It's related to this.
I'm just saying.
Did you see the Slipknot?
The Slipknot?
When you were there in Iowa.
I know of the new metal band known as the Slipknot.
They're from Iowa.
No way.
I only see those big fans. Just.
I always wonder if you guys know the guys from Chevelle.
Actually, I do. Yes. We played a show with them a long ass time ago.
See?
Long
look at that.
Time ago.
We should have them on the show.
I don't like know them personally anymore.
But they're from right around here. They play at the Brat Stop every once in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just move the show to the Brat Stop. Yeah. Get a booth.
And a bonsai show. I like that. Let's just set up show anywhere we feel like. They're like, sirs, what are you doing?
We get that mobile.
A radio podcast.
The mobile unit. Break out the mobile
I have unit. It. I mean, we can do it.
Satellite interruption. We have right the here technology. We're going to break through, pirate this shit right to your ear holes.
Oh, there you go. We have digressed into the Brat Stop episode, which would be show number 15. But let's go back to show number dos, and let's take a quick break, and let's rock it back into whatever the fuck we're supposed to be doing next.
You're listening to the Black Ribbon Bike Hour
on Fat Bike Radio.
Fat Bike
Hey, we're back, and the title of this segment is Vintage MTB. Vintage mountain bikes. Think about it. We have my inspiration for this whole quest, Paul De Valera, on the line. He's from Los Angeles out, and do you own or do you work at Atomic Cycles, Paul?
Both.
Both. Nice.
Boom.
So, yeah. And Paul's been running some clunker and coaster brake and vintage mountain bike events out there. As well, you'll see in the show notes, we're going to feature some of the awesome flyers that he puts together. Can you tell us, I look at these pictures and it's just everything I love about underground events. It looks like you guys are having so much fun. Tell us about your clunker or vintage MTB events. What kind of ride format do you run out there?
Well, it depends on which one. So for the Coaster Break Challenge, it's a month-long thing, and I'm picking four courses. So I have to go around and look at all the trails out here, and there's a lot of mountain biking trails in Los Angeles. You'd think that that would not be the case, but there's quite a bit. And you have to look at them first. I typically use Google Earth or something like that to kind of get a rough idea if I think it's doable, and then I go out and try it, and then if I don't die, I say, okay, that's good, or whoa, that's way too much. You know, I had to jump off my bike to save my butt or something, and then I figure it out, and most of the time I calculate the distances and the hardness pretty well, and then I start the first one with an easy one, and then kind of ramp it up with the third one typically being the hardest to do as far as the physicality of it. And then the last one, I always do a shorter one that has something silly. Like I made them do a Coaster Break Challenge word search, or put their feet in a bag and jump around a cone, or shoot a can with a slingshot, or I made them do Coaster Break Challenge haikus one time. You know, to get their laps, and some people lost a lot of places because they're meatheads. couldn't compose a haiku, or they were terrible shots. They obviously were good kids when they were children because they couldn't hit anything with a slingshot. It was really frustrating for them because they were really good riders. They were getting lapped by people that were slower than them, or you know, because they had no capacity to destroy things.
Pacifists.
So, yeah, well, you know, that's what you get. You want to be a pussy, that's your choice. But there's a bit of logistical groundwork on my end to put all that together. And then the vintage mountain bike stuff, like the clunker runs and things, I just do that with my buddies. And I'm in a mountain bike club called the Scumbags, and we just do a short ride, and they haul a couple cases of beer up to the top of the mountain and just accost everyone and try to do beer handoffs at 8 in the morning. And
yes.
So that's kind of fun. And the funniest thing is that I don't drink.
I'm in the same boat, but
I'm totally straight edge, and I've been that way my whole life pretty much. And I just, you know, to me, it's the both of those things seem to go hand in hand in mountain biking a lot, where there's a lot of drunken antics, and then I'm kind of feeling compelled to sort of facilitate that kind of stuff, even though personally I would never do it.
Yeah, I'm the dullest
edge.
The
people, they want it. I mean, I'm not going to say you can't do it. I'm just going to
think
that, well, it's going to happen whether I want it to or not, right?
Right, yeah. So, there's no blocking the flow of a giant river.
Like a butter knife.
Right.
I like to think of myself as, like, half-reformed straight edge. But that's just me. Okay. So here I am on the verge of, you know, wanting to run a vintage MTB event. I'm curious to see how you define vintage MTB.
Well, I just, for my next thing I'm doing, I just picked a year. I looked at when SPD pedals came out and when, what was the other thing? V-brakes, and I think they both came out in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of trying to keep the bikes mostly full rigid, so I thought 1992 was a good cutoff year.
Hmm.
But, the, you know, you post the thing on the internet, and there's always some dill hole that goes, oh, well, here I found this carbon fiber bike with suspension from 1992, so neener, neener, you know. And I go, well, I don't care. You're a douche, so.
I know. I don't want... I don't want people to.
And why do you have to be? Why do you have to be right so damn bad? Like, why is that important to you? Is your life that empty? Okay, fine. I mean, you're not going to show up anyway.
Right. You know.
I've been organizing lots of events for a really, really long time. And prior to all this, I was doing other stuff, like really completely insane underground events that were incredibly violent, and we would beat the shit out of each other with foam weapons and bikes with metal rams on the front of them, and all this kind of stuff. So this kind of jazz is really subdued in a relative sense. But to get back more to your question, I picked that number, and a few years back, I organized a vintage mountain bike ride, and it was a really negative experience afterwards because I had to deal with all these nerds kept nitpicking every component on your bike, and one guy went totally crazy on me and was screaming at me on the phone, and I don't know, he needed to go take his meds. I don't know what his trick was.
Ay, caramba. And we're not going to allow any of that.
Well, because they were bitching about all this stuff, and I'm all, well, what do you guys do when you go home? Do you flip a light switch like six or seven times before you sit down, or, you know, just rein your OCD in?
Rein it in,
just because if you had a bike from that era and you broke something and you took it to the bike shop, they're going to put a new part on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe they don't have a turquoise Kuka stem because they all broke because they're pieces of shit. Okay?
Word.
So they're going to just put some regular, like, Sun Ringle thing on there or whatever, you know, specialized, whatever is laying around. I go, well, we got this.
I know, and I envision that
you're going to be like, okay, it's 5 years old, and yeah, totally, cool, fix it. And you would. So I went through these same iterations with the BMX dorks and dealing with all their bullshit. So,
well, there's always a few bad apples.
I like all that stuff, but the just, you know, stop.
Well, I don't want to get hated on.
Stop worrying about how many mountain bikers can dance on the end of a violet quick release skewer. Just unimportant. You're supposed to just go out there and have fun. You're supposed
boom.
To ride the bikes.
Yes.
Boom.
You're
boom.
Supposed to ride the bikes. That's the,
boom, cousin.
That's the thing that these guys don't do. They nerd out.
Like
one of my buddies, he came by today as an example, and he has 19 Philip Braze Ritchie frames.
Uh-huh.
He won't sell me one because I'll ride it. All right?
Oh,
and,
fuck him.
I'm all, hey, man, you going to do this race? And he's like, oh, how long is it? I'm all, well, it's 25 miles. So, oh, well. I'm all, you're supposed to ride these bicycles.
Yeah, man. His bikes hate him. They're like, ride me, please. Just take me.
That's bike hell right there.
Problem. So, you know, a fanatic is someone who doubles their effort and loses sight of the goal.
Yeah.
So they get all this stuff. And I collect a lot of vintage things, but everything I got, it's going to get used. So certainly after I get my hands on it, gets in worse condition.
Yeah,
cosmetically.
I want people to bring these bikes and ride them, but I kind of envision a little bit of we're talking about running like a vintage MTB rally with less of an emphasis on racing. We might have like a special downhill section or whatever, and do the stupid human tricks kind of thing. But I also envision kind of like setting up the bikes and in a corral and drinking beer afterwards, and you know, kind of like a local car show,
great.
You know,
at the Amelia Island concourse,
but
Yeah. For mountain bikes.
I do both. So we do the group rides, the clunker run,
mm-hmm.
and then so I came up with the mullet race because I wanted to have one where you actually race the bike, because the clunker run, there's you're just doing exactly what you said. We're just hanging out, kind of nerding out on them and stuff, and that does have a good entertainment value. So that's a whole lot of fun. And then I figured, well, why not? Let's race these things.
Hell yeah.
Derbies? Are there derbies happening?
Yeah, do you guys derby?
Do you guys derby,
Paul? Do you know the derby game? That people ride?
Derby, I don't know.
Riding around in a... You ride around in a circle?
They call it foot down in some places.
Foot down. No, I haven't done that yet. I don't really feel any reason
I suggest it,
sir. It's kind of big in the Midwest, especially Minneapolis. You don't go to any underground bike event where they don't derby. So
West Coast, man, you know.
That's all right.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I used to do demolition derbies.
You were saying, yeah, where you...
Very similar.
I took BMX bikes and I welded cow catchers on the front of them, and then the only rule was to win. So, I mean, I got hit in the head with these things, and so, you know, that was my idea. In the last one we did, I did it for 15 years, and the last one I actually choked out one of my friends. I beat his head on the pavement, but I took his glasses off first, and then I beat his head on the pavement until he gave up.
And that's a derby.
And the last guy, I kept trying to beat the shit out of him, and then I couldn't beat his ass badly, so... But it got down to just pushing and shoving and throwing the bikes, and then everyone said, dance off.
You beat him into a misdemeanor, not a felony.
He's like, I can't dance to Journey. And I'm like, well, then you lose.
And then you whipped out your cardboard and breakdance and busted him.
Telescoping nunchucks.
Run DMC or something.
All right.
And I did a cartwheel dressed like a giant cat, and that cinched it. So.
Uh-huh.
But that's different. But, yeah, I mean, you have to balance it. So you have to go out there and have fun with it. But I put my back race up on Craigslist, and somebody flagged it for removal. So that's the kind of prevailing attitude you have, is there's this sort of religious reverence for this old stuff.
Hmm.
But they're not actually going to go out and use it. Sure, people do, but they don't use it all the time. Occasionally I see a guy on an old bike up the mountain bitching, but it's not too often.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends that still ride. I have a friend who still rides a Trek Y bike, and he uses it for everything. So just crazy.
When that came out, that was the Hosmogaz, right? So it suddenly become non-usable because they come out with some other doohickey.
That was the unified rear triangle, the drivetrain that never moved, but just jacked up and down really good.
Yeah.
So, Paul,
I remember them.
You're the poster child for what this our new show, the Black Ribbon Bike Hour, is all about, dude. We're not worthy to have you as a guest on our show because
I want to ride bikes with Paul.
Yeah. So there are a couple of vintage MTB events here in the Midwest. There's something called Clunker Funk at the Cuyuna Trails in Minnesota. I went to that last year. That was a ton of fun. And we're going to be running two events, one at a vintage MTB rally and one a clunker event. So maybe as soon as April or May. So we really appreciate you like lighting the fire of inspiration.
I just want to beat somebody up right now.
I don't know. It sounds like it attracts some real assholes. We should rethink this whole strategy of ours.
Let's go take a station break in Derby.
It's going to be good. I got to figure out how to weld a cow catcher to my fat bike.
Yeah. Pretty rad.
So, man, anything else you want to share with us before we bid you a good night?
I don't know. I mean, if you have any other questions, or I'm not really sure.
Well, I would say if you are in the Southern California region, either as a visitor or if you live out there, stop by Atomic Cycles and talk to Paul, because it sounds like he has the the perfect cure for the modern life.
And a good story or two.
Hell yeah.
I guess. I just try to have fun. I think the basic philosophy is like when you were a kid and you would have some toys or sticks or whatever and you had your friends, you would construct a game.
Yeah, yeah.
You would play it. And so I have all these bicycles, so they're toys, and I'm trying to figure out fun things to do with them with my friends. And over time, I think as adults, you begin to lose that ability to be creative, and you're just waiting for the next thing to come out from Hollywood, or out here, you wait for the next, you know, ride to be built at Magic Mountain or Disneyland or whatever, and then, you know, all of your entertainment choices involve going some to some corporate structure and shelling out lots of money to be passively entertained, and you should still evoke that creative sort of childlike stance in life where you make your own fun.
Boom.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Paul,
absolutely.
Paul, I got a question for you. What is your drink of choice since you don't partake in alcoholic beverages? Well, what is your beverage
of choice?
Fantastic.
I like coffee.
How do you drink your coffee?
And
black?
Sugar and cream.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Like otherwise.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Yes, this is good stuff.
Well, you know, I'm not going to grow up. If I drink black coffee, that's an adult trapping.
Right. It's bitter and delicious.
Plus, it stunts your growth.
I'm already sure.
Yeah, I like to say, Paul, let's go out and play bikes. That's what we would say to each other when we were 8. I would go over to my friend's house and say, let's go play bikes. Mm-hmm. And then we would just go screw off and ride bikes. And, it's a lost thing today.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be on your Strava, or you got to be working out, or you got to be riding intervals. And there's more to life than that. So you carry the torch in the Southern California area, and we really appreciate you coming on, man.
Well, no problem. Yeah, I mean, we've been doing Coaster Break now for 8 years. So I'm at least ahead of the curve at ripping off the past than anybody else. So.
Dude, I love Coaster Break. I love it. I love that, my transition, my clunker. That thing is a fucking blast.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you guys should put together a Coaster Break challenge.
Yeah, I'd be the only one there.
A one-day thing.
Hell yeah.
Well, what I did is I made loaner bikes.
Dude, you were too
and
nice.
And I brought extra helmets. So when they go, I don't have a bike, I go, I have a loaner. I don't have a helmet, here's a helmet.
I don't have an excuse for fun.
No excuses for fun.
You can say you're afraid and not do it, and I'll accept that answer. You don't have the equipment, I'm giving you the equipment. So, you know, I just make sure that people don't have any excuses. You really have to drag people kicking and screaming to a good time. And so, you know, it's hard sometimes to put all the legwork behind an event and then have to sell it so hard, you know.
Well, we're gonna put our toe in the water and see if we can't get some people to come out and join us in the kind of fun that you have been a perfect example of starting. So thanks for coming on the show. And we will we'll definitely be in touch.
All right, cool. All right, have a good evening.
Take care.
Later.
See
thanks,
you.
Paul.
Bye. You're welcome. Talk to you later.
Y'all.
Bye.
Vintage mountain bikes.
Yeah. So, do any of you have a vintage mountain bike?
Yes.
Not anymore.
Yes, plus.
Plus. Did it turn into a carbon road bike, a carbon cross bike,
or it turned into a Farley 8. I sold my 1998.
I'm sorry.
Cannondale F2000, which I suppose by his standards is not vintage.
Yeah.
But I did. Let's see. I did have, what was it? It was a Jazz.
jazz. Oh, was it like neon yellow?
It had fleck.
Like
had
triangles.
Oh, it was splatter paint job?
Oh, yeah, yeah, splatter paint job and jazz. Super that was my first mountain bike that I bought with my own money when I was in 7th or 8th grade.
Did you wear Zubas when you rode it?
No, I wasn't fat enough to wear Zubas.
Okay. They would just slide off you.
You have to be fat to wear Zubas.
They were elastic, and if you didn't have enough to fill out the elastic, they just fall right off.
I just thought you'd just wear like a smaller size.
Yeah, they make smaller sizes.
Oh. All right. Yeah, how about you, Chris? Do you have a vintage mountain bike?
Not really. I mean, I've got some that we have at the shop that technically I own, but...
You guys are going to have to garbage pick. Well, you won't have to garbage pick, but you'll have to cherry pick that. Yeah. And what's your vintage?
I've got my first mountain bike, which was a Performance M704, green and purple.
Uh-huh.
I also have my J.C. Higgins... it looks kind of like the Schwinn's, all chrome, flipped upside down bars. I love that bike.
Nice.
That would be, it's probably the super vintage bike, but,
I have an 88 Mountain Klein that was Klein's first model before the Pinnacle.
Was that the one hanging in the Seinfeld in the background?
No, that was a Pinnacle. All the neon bikes. So this bike came as a true fire engine red. But it cracked, so they took it back to the factory and they repaired the crack, and then it came back as like candy apple red. So it has a Klein one piece bar stem. So 1988, it has a U brake on the chainstays. So, and cantilevers on the front. So that is my vintage MTB. And I know that there's a lot of people in Wisconsin that have those old antelopes sitting around that they might have turned into a commuter, etc., but they all accept 2.0 knobbies as well. So I think that people will be into it. Because Kettle Moraine, you can ride it on any bike.
Oh, yeah.
I think that it's going to be one of those things where you're going to want to have tools, and because shit's going to break. People are not going to test it, and people are going to go out with 20-year-old inner tubes or 20-year-old rubber, so it could be a race of attrition. But I could see doing like a point-to-point on the connector type of ride where that would be fun, and it would be arduous. That would be
a blast.
So, we already have a sponsor that wants to sponsor the event. So if we do it at Camrock, Camrock Sports is going to be behind it. So
would it be just vintage or vintage and clunker? I mean, because like how would you, again, like what he ran into, what Paul ran into with the problems of when are you going to define?
I want to have the loosest definition possible because.
Pre-2000. Let's cut it off at the millennium.
Or I just like, say, what if somebody just, like, whatever, rocks through the course, they win it, and at the end you just say, well, you know, no, sorry, you ran it on a newer bike and you suck.
Well, we make the rules, so fuck it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just
maybe that could be one of the rules. The rules are that the rules are fluid.
Well, I've got my new rules transition are, plunker.
We're not really giving $1 million prize away, so... Maybe the person that comes, no matter what kind of bike they ride, if they have the most fun.
Biggest smile wins.
There you go.
Awesome.
That's a good idea.
Well, the next cat that comes through the shop with an antelope, I'm offering him $20 for his bike.
Sweet. Those were nice bikes. Made in the USA. And nothing runs like a lope. Like a cantaloupe. I mean an antelope. Nice melons. So, the final segment that we have going here.
Oh, you know what, though? I don't have any vintage mountain bikes, but I have a vintage mountain bike story.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
So, let's see, what was it? Around 2009, the missus and I, before we have children, decided to do a little trip out to Burning Man.
Because we're
kind of radical people like that. And, prior to that summer, we meet this cat through a mutual friend that's like, hey, I got a place in Lake Tahoe. You're going to Burning Man. Stop by my place, you know, and it could be a staging ground and blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. So we do that. We roll up into his joint. We'll call him Benji. No, I'm sorry. That was actually his name. We'll call him Lassie.
We can bleep that out.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do that. So, anyway, this cat, you know, he dealt in fine goods, we'll say. You know, mm-hmm. It's fine. And he spent most of his time perusing a Craigslist for vintage mountain bikes. He was, like, really into all these vintage mountain bikes. Mm-hmm. So, as a thank you to letting him stay in his place, I've tuned up, like, all his mountain bikes. He had, like, 10 of them there or something like that, and got them all set up and working real nice, and even let me borrow a nice beach cruiser for the event. And
sweet.
Yeah, it was cool. Pretty man. I mean, the funny part was he was, like, totally overweight and had gout in both of his feet and never rode a bike ever. But he liked vintage mountain bikes for whatever reason, so we had a reason to connect there. And but funny part was when we got back, we come back after the event and, you know, with a big dusty camper and everything we're trying to clean out. And his girlfriend, or no, it was his sister, was this kind of like nutso chick. Hot chick, but just, you know, like, woo. And she had this friend who was equally, you know, whoa. And your friend had this boyfriend who was like professional wrestler size, you know, human growth hormone, just gigantic human being with like a Bret Michaels do-rag that never came off, and like for the same reason, you know, had the long hair, but like, you know I should have thought.
We'll call him Hulk Michaels.
He was, man. This guy was gnarly. And so it's like Monday night, and I think it was the debut of Jay Cutler against the Packers, and I watch him throw like 6 fucking interceptions. Like, just, yeah.
Best quarterback
God.
Best quarterback the Packers ever didn't have.
Holy shit. Yeah. So that was
sports ball.
Good start.
And oh, yeah. Sports ball. Sports ball. Our bike pool.
And then in the meantime, Hulk Hogan is like just trying to get my wife in the hot tub and me, but I can clearly see it's a ruse, you know, like, yeah, right, okay. And we get saved by the bell because all of a sudden their cell phone goes off, and apparently the place that was doggy sitting their pit bull somehow fried the thing in some sort of like doggy dryer. I don't know what the hell. I mean, it's California. They have
might have been
tan
a tanning bed.
It could have been. I don't. But regardless,
what the shit.
The dog was fucking smoking, and they were pissed and stormed out of there. You know, door slam, bam, probably 90 miles an hour back to L.A. And whoever was on the receiving end of that counter, boy.
Boy.
When the Hogans showed up,
doggy microwave.
Yeah.
So Burning Man.
Yeah, 3 times I'm a veteran.
Oh, man.
Hell yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's got to be so cool. It's that's the what I'm telling you.
Great.
I always wanted Gnome Fest to be like Burning Man, even though I've never.
It probably is. I mean, Burning Man is a little bit of everything, so yeah. There's probably some Gnome Fest action going on out there.
You just made me feel better about myself.
Hey, I think we should take a company-sponsored field trip this summer. Do a little broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. This is the
live.
We've lost Dave. Dave is gone in the desert and has not returned. Someone gave him peyote.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, peyote.
I'll show up eventually. Speaking of peyote.
Speaking of tea.
And buttons.
The next segment on the little list of things, this computer thing that
we have a to-do list.
Yeah, on our next thing on our to-do list is the Black Ribbon safety meeting.
Well, should we do a break first?
Do you want to
cram in some commercials?
Next? We can cram in a commercial.
I have different nexts.
This is the Black Ribbon Bike Hour. Resistance is futile.
You're tuned to the Black Ribbon Radio Hour.
And we're back. And we're back with the Black Ribbon safety meeting. Gomez.
So today we have a film strip, ladies and gentlemen, because we basically didn't write anything for the subject matter. But this is a kick-ass film strip, educational, in the subject of bike fun. So watch this.
Well, watch it, do that, and be safe.
And if that doesn't...
Build your own bike out of a 2x4 and a roller skate. And yeah. Try not to die.
And wear a helmet.
Right.
And don't die.
Yes.
Our show this evening has been brought to you by the bikes, parts, and chaos of Surly Bikes. Learn more at surlybikes.com.
You've been listening to the Black Ribbon Bike Hour, a production of Fat Bike Radio Broadcast on Pirate Cycling Network. Check us out at fat-bike.com or i-tunes.com. Oh, wait, no, it's just itunes.com.
Boom.
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 Mom, request via the fat, but I'm not going to use scan names.